Insights, solutions, and networking all come together at RSA Conference. Join a global cybersecurity community at rsaconference.com/ITSPMAG24.
You're about to listen to a new episode of the Redefining Cybersecurity Podcast with Sean Martin. Have you ever thought we're selling cybersecurity insincerely, buying it indiscriminately, and deploying it ineffectively? Well, perhaps we are. Let's look at how we can organize a successful information security program that integrates business culture with people, process, and technology to drive growth and protect business value.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
Hello, everybody. You're very welcome to a new Redefining Cybersecurity podcast. I am your host, Sean Martin. And I think I have to do the obligatory horn pull to get the truck horn signal going here. If you might guess, if you listen to the show, you know I get to talk about all kinds of cool things cyber related to business and policy and governance and all the fun stuff that organizations have to deal with. And when you dig down deeper, you realize that different organizations have different needs based on the industry sector they operate in and the consumer base that they reach, the products and services. And we look at cars, we look at space, we look at finance, you name it. We're looking at it today. We're looking at trucking and the world of cybersecurity in the trucking sector. And I'm thrilled to have Chloe Callahan and Antoine Banks on. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
It's going to be fun, and a shout out to Marley and NFTA to hopefully I got the acronym right for introducing us, and I'm excited for this conversation. Before we get into kind of the state of security and trucking, a few words from each of you. Chloe, what's your role? What are you up to? And why cybersecurity and trucking?
Yeah, so I'm the IT operations manager at Peninsula Truck Lines. It's a Pacific Northwest trucking company. And I started going to the NMFTA conferences way back when I first got this job. And I didn't have the cybersecurity bug. I cared about it, but not so much. And the NMFTA really inspired me to dig deeper into cybersecurity and how we can work together as a community to protect ourselves and enhance learning. And my particular passion is to educate everyone, users, the end user especially. The more people that know about cybersecurity, just basics, and then even getting in deeper into the weeds with the people that, you know, need to know that. So.
And Antoine, a bit about you.
Well, I'm Antoine Banks. I'm the Director of Enterprise Security over at the NMFTA. Retired military. I did cyber in the military, cyber warfare, cyber defense, and cybersecurity is my passion. Before joining the NMFTA, I was the Director of Cybersecurity at the Rail System here in Atlanta, better known as MARTA. And so I got into IoT devices because we had a SCADA, industrial control networks, and I just love cybersecurity. I enjoy this job because I understand cyber warfare, and I know that our next war will be fought in cyberspace, and our supply chain will be in a high value target to a nation state, and if they can figure out how to stop our food supplies, our Lifeline, then, you know, they can bring pain on our society, in our lively, in our way of life. So I enjoy this mission. I see it as a, for me, it's kind of like a chess game. You got to move all the right pieces around to defend against the enemy. And so over at the NMFTA, we're doing research on the heavy truck network on how to protect an adversary from hacking in and taking over a truck and do things that they're not authorized to do. We've recently announced a reorg. I used to be over the heavy truck and the enterprise. We're going to bring in a an additional person to come in to focus solely on the trucking network, and I'm going to focus solely on the enterprise so we can put a little bit more horsepower behind the game. But that's pretty much me and NMFTA in a nutshell.
Fantastic. And I know we want to get into kind of the current state of things, but I think what might help at least me and presumably the audience as well is I'd like to paint a visual picture of what the world of trucking looks like. You just described two. So I knew large vehicles would be one. But you mentioned enterprise. I don't know if that's the enterprise for NMFTA or if that's enterprise trucking for like back office systems for trucking organizations. So I don't know. So that's why I'm asking who can paint a picture of what all the elements are in the world of trucking.
Well, I take a stab at it and I turn it over to Chloe because, you know, I've been in trucking for over a year, and Chloe has been doing it for a while. When I speak of enterprise, you know, I speak of the back office, the your Outlook, your desktop, your laptops, your servers, your cloud environment. And when I speak of trucking, you know, I'm talking about the truck itself, the network that's on the truck, that whole ecosystem from the warehouse, updating the firmware inside the truck, inside the maintenance, laptops, things of that nature. So when I say enterprise, I'm talking the office, back office. And when I say trucking network, I'm talking about the truck, the trailer, that whole ecosystem.
And is logistics part of the truck network? Or does it connect back to enterprise?
So we actually have to consider both. The trucks are what are on the roads delivering the freight, but all of us, all of the trucking companies have that back office part too. So our job as cybersecurity administrators at the trucking companies is to understand and defend both aspects.
Got it. All right. So the other thing I want to do kind of to level set, I think we talked briefly about this before we started recording. I think, at least from my perspective, there's been a lot of attention on automotive, the world of automotive, and certainly autonomous cars and things like that. My expectation, at least limited understanding, is that they're autonomous trucks, right? And a lot of the same technologies in the standard car world, if you will, apply to trucking. So who wants to paint a picture of what a truck looks like? And are there any differences there between a truck and a car that we should be aware of?
I'm not entirely sure about the network part of the car versus truck, but the truck will have the controller area network with all of the different systems that have to talk to each other. And when you compare that to a car, it's probably somewhat similar, but the difference with regard to cyber warfare between the two is that if the supply chain is attacked and trucks aren't running on the roads, it would take 3 days before shelves are completely empty and different things about our society would be extremely, like, devastatingly impacted if trucks can't run? So when I answer that question, I'm thinking in terms of what are the effects of trucking versus heavy vehicles versus the automobiles.
Yeah, and I presume I'm thinking refrigerated trucks.
right.
The truck might get there, but if all the food is spoiled, that could be a problem as well. And I want to take this moment. So Jeremy Daly has joined us. Jeremy, thanks for being on from Colorado State, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Perfect. And I'm glad you can make it. Both Chloe and Antoine have given a few words about their role and what they're up to with respect to trucking cybersecurity. So if you could do that for us, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. So my name is Jeremy Daly, and I teach systems engineering at the graduate level at Colorado State University. And one of the things systems engineers look for is a property called emergent behavior. And this is the idea that when you have separate systems that by themselves are fine, when they get put together, new behaviors emerge, things that may not have been either noticed or planned for. And cybersecurity is an emergent behavior. So a lot of issues happen when these potentially safe systems get combined, right? One of our more recent explorations is in the concept of the electronic logging device. And so this is a mandated technology that the government requires truckers to use to track hours of service. And so this device by itself is programmed, you know, fine and can interact with a CAN bus and so forth. And then the truck itself doesn't have any sort of wireless access. And so when you put these two together, there's now a potential for wireless access to a truck through this device that controls the network. And so what we'll see then is any vulnerability that ELD exposes could then potentially affect the operation of a truck. And so our focus has been on mainly assets, right? So heavy vehicles, you know, the things that are actually rolling on the street, and making sure that our, you know, manufacturers and the OEMs understand some of the security concerns that we have. And so we've started some initiatives. Probably the most successful that we have is called the Cyber Truck Challenge, where we meet for a week in the summer, bring in a bunch of students. Last year, we had 25 different universities represented and all the major heavy truck makers. And we learn about cybersecurity and then go hack on trucks for a few days and really try to develop our community of interest and develop talent to solve some of these problems.
Yeah, super fun, and hats off to all those researchers doing that work. We'll spend a few more minutes on the Cybertruck Challenge a little later in the episode. One thing I asked both Chloe and Antoine, I'd like your perspective on this, is I think, as I noted earlier, my perspective is a fair decent understanding in the world of regular automotive infrastructure and technologies and research being done there. To me, it seems a little less on the trucking world. So I was wondering what differences might exist between the automotive and the large vehicle world. And one thing that comes to mind, you mentioned one in that device, perhaps. The other thing that comes to mind is the inclusion of strong mechanical devices that are probably controlled on these trucks. But in the broad picture of trucking and trucking cybersecurity, where might there be differences between regular automotive and large vehicles?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when I first started looking at this, we tried to answer this question, and we came up with a couple things. The first was the idea of a horizontal integration, where you have trucks that appear with a badge, a brand badge on the outside, but have critical components from many different companies. And so, you know, the example I give is our Kenworth truck runs a Cummins engine with Bendix brakes. And you could have the same outside facing Kenworth truck, but a PACCAR engine with Wabco brakes, right? So there's a lot of specifications, and that horizontal integration leads to standardization. And we use J1939 for those standardized messages. So that was the story about 10 years ago. Arguably though, a lot of the companies have become more vertical, and even to the point where the passenger car technologies are showing up in the heavy trucks as well. So AutoSAR, for example, it was mainly targeted for passenger cars, but now we're seeing it implemented in the heavy trucks. And companies like Volvo have an interest in both, and so they kind of homogenize their approach towards electronics and try to borrow from each other. What the difference nowadays, though, I think is in the customer base. In the trucking industry, you have purchasers who are responsible for large volumes of purchases, right? So hundreds of trucks at a time. And that purchasing power gives the trucking companies a lot of influence over the specifications about how those trucks are built. And, you know, for example, adding additional RP1226 connection points for ELDs is something that's customer driven, where in a passenger space, if I go to a Chevy or a Ford dealer, I probably can't just ask them to add more wiring for my special case. So you have, as a trucking industry, the ability to influence builds through your requirements and your purchasing power. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And then the other part is the regulation environment. Heavies versus passengers are regulated differently, and passengers aren't required for hours of service. And so you don't have these self-certified devices that are required to be installed in passenger cars. So I would say those are kind of the two big differences between passenger and heavies.
Got it. Perfect. So I want to, I could probably spend the rest of this time just digging deeper into those. Maybe we can spend more time on that than in another point. Cause I think, I was looking back to when Antron introduced himself, the SCADA work and the IoT work, all the elements within the truck, make it difficult to kind of get the system of systems, right? So different components from different makers combined to pull together a big truck system makes it challenging. So I wanted to kind of go to you. And I mentioned that my naive view is that it doesn't get a lot of attention, at least in media, from my perspective. What's your take on the understanding of the need for cybersecurity from the people buying the trucks, from the people running the trucks?
That is a really excellent question. The need for everybody to understand cybersecurity concepts from a basic level all the way up to as far as your interest will take you is great. I agree with Antoine in that the next war is going to be cyber warfare as an included aspect of the tactics used. And so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And being prepared is never a bad thing. So for me and Peninsula Truck Lines, I have taken on the project of educating every employee, including drivers who have to take mandatory cybersecurity video training. Because I think it's very important for just awareness, understanding from a driver's perspective, understanding what your truck should look like, and is there an extra device attached to it? For instance, it's just being aware.
Can you, Chloe, describe what the inside of that truck looks like? Or I don't know, does somebody look at it through their phone as well? I can only imagine a tablet, because not many of us get to sit up high in that nice bouncy chair in front of a cool display with certain things. So describe that to us.
I can tell you that we do have, you know, the Dr. Daly mentioned the electronic logging devices, and we do have to have a device that will connect with an app to our routing and dispatch provider. And that's where all of those logs are ingested. And then you can, you know, the driver will clock in and out for lunch or in and out for their shift, and they'll do their reports on whether the truck is in good working order or not. So the driver definitely has to be aware of interacting with a device and understanding what is connected in their vehicle. And we're constantly adding stuff, you know, we're talking cameras, and we're talking, you know, other things that need to get added into the vehicle. So, you know, it's just really important that everybody has a basic level of understanding, and that I think social engineering is a really big one. I heard it said once that you can defend yourself by being rude, and don't just take somebody at their word and demand that you get more explanation, or find the explanation in a different way if you feel like you're getting told a story.
Yeah, so. And Antoine or Jeremy, I'd like to get a view, and we'll talk about some of the threats targeting this stuff, but the attack surface. And I don't know if that's presented in the context of what a truck can actually do. Does it have sensors? It must have sensors for refrigeration and load weight and whether the load is balanced properly, or I don't know. What are all the things technically that a truck can do?
Well, you know, from a hacker's perspective, and I'll let Jeremy go into some of the research that they're doing. There are many different ways you can attack a truck. I believe, based off my experience in the military and how pen testers work, that they're going to attack the enterprise system, the back office system, and potentially get to a system that the truck trusts and take advantage of a trust relationship. So maybe some type of a dispatch system or something that goes through the telematics device to the truck. And from a nation state, they want to try to attack multiple trucks, because you really can't hurt our economy or hurt our way of life if you attack one truck or two trucks. You want to hit a lot of trucks at the same time. You want to attack in scale. So they use something called Pivot, attack the enterprise network, trick somebody to click on a link in an email or some kind of social media posting, compromise that machine, take advantage of the trust relationship, and then hop out to potentially multiple trucks and maybe derate it or shut it down or understand the geolocation so they could, you know, maybe hijack it, things of that nature. And then you have some other physical attacks that you got to be in close proximity to attack the truck. But that's what I think a nation state would do. I'll let Jeremy talk about some of the things that things that they're not going to talk about in our Chatham House rules session, things that they've seen and some research they've done.
Yeah. Thanks, Antoine. So I like to address this question by introducing the concept of the life cycle of the vehicle. And so oftentimes we have this vision of just the truck driving on the road or picking up cargo or whatnot, but the reality of it is these are 20-year, 30-year assets that have a lot of considerations throughout their entire life cycle. So if we start out, you know, kind of even in the conceptual or the design phase, there's proprietary intellectual property that's tied into these engine control modules. And so those need to be protected to, you know, maintain the competitive advantage for those companies. Then you have the initial provisioning and the registration. So the truck rolls off the factory, but then as soon as you know they show up at a fleet, they get adapted to comply with the regulations, right? With the ELDs and the cameras and other types of safety features that are third party provided. And so the truck that we thought you were looking at actually isn't the same truck that's actually on the road. And then if something breaks down, you've got to do a repair and replace, and you have a diagnostic tool, and that diagnostic tool uses Windows, and hopefully your Windows is updated and patched. And so the reality of it is, for some of the life of a truck, you actually do have to worry about the internet and the Windows updates and the device drivers. And some of our research groups has shown how we can transparently infect a Windows computer that then changes the firmware settings on a truck. And then there's a forensics case at the end, right? What happens at the end of a truck's life? And sometimes they crash. And so now you have a significant amount of effort going into figuring out what happened. And sometimes these, the lawsuits associated with truck crashes are in the, eight figure range. And so there's a significant financial incentive for, smart people to really dive deep into some of these devices and uncover some of the digital data and or secrets that are in there. So it's not quite as straightforward as just a device or a sensor, but there's a whole life cycle that exists that really addresses or that need kind of special security considerations for those particular phases.
And I know when I look at the trucking or not so the trucking the tractor sector. Not tractor trailer, but farming tractors. I think the general gist of it is one doesn't really own the tractor anymore. They lease it with the rights to use it, but you can't repair it. I think maybe some of this has changed in recent months or years, but who can describe kind of that whole thing? Just the ability to change the way the truck operates. You don't just tighten a screw or a bolt anymore. It's tuning through computers and may or may not be able to do that now.
Well, in order to operate in California, it has to be satisfied through the clean air check. And so there's a consistent certification process that goes through the OBD port. And some of them are live and connected, right? So it's a perpetual connection that's feeding the back office or the state of California's back office. So something that's completely out of control of both the fleets and the drivers and the manufacturers. And so those are going to generate new threats from a cybersecurity perspective. And also, the notion of what is a false positive and what's a false negative? And if you can induce false positives and false negatives on emission compliance, then you can either run illegally without consequence, or you can subvert your competition so they get fined and you don't. So there's some consequences, some second order effects from imposing these types of regulations that require a cyber aspect to it.
And I'm picturing this world of a state controlling the speed limit of certain trucks with certain loads because they get better mileage and less pollution. So from a dial, they can control all of the trucks.
Yeah. So the state might want to do this for altruistic purposes, but without due consideration for the security consequences of that, that means other states and let's say nation states may also be able to do this and cripple the economy, right? So I think that there is a, a unintended consequences from some of this. And we've already seen those unintended consequences manifest themselves with the electronic logging devices, where the trucks that use these are no longer safe on the road.
Hmm.
Yeah, one of the things that I like to include in my briefing, to keep it plain and simple, when they, you know, trucks were never designed to be connected to the internet. You know, when they first start building trucks, it was mainly the haul cargo. And because of various regulations and compliance, they started throwing devices and networks in trucks for compliance reasons. And now vendors want to keep up with the health of the truck and the health of the devices on the truck. And so they want connectivity into the truck. So all these needs to remotely manage, remotely monitor what's happening in the truck is creating attack vectors. You have drivers with cell phones, smart devices that go out and plug into all these stations that could get juice jacked. And if their phone get compromised and they plug into the truck, they can also introduce a vulnerability. So you just got to remember a vehicle that wasn't designed to go to the internet. And as you throw things on it, the rush to put it in there without security considerations create vulnerabilities. And it is up to people like Jeremy and Ben Gardner to go out and do the research to try to find those vulnerabilities before the bad guys find them. It's just a race against time, basically.
And Chloe, how do you go about defining success for your IT/security program? And how do you communicate that to your executive leadership team that this is what's important and here's how we're managing to that?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm very lucky in the fact that my executive leadership team is very invested as well in security. That's not always the case at every company. So they're very, very supportive. And I to measure success, I tend to be pretty hard on myself, and I think that continuous improvement is more the order than success. We need to continually reevaluate. We need to make sure that we're updating our incident response plans. We need to make sure that we're, you know, doing all of the right basic security things for both the enterprise and then also educate ourselves on the truck networking aspects of it. Things like Antoine was saying about the SCADA networks, and I think that we can learn a lot from other industries that have already overcome certain challenges and apply those lessons learned to our own industry as well. So success is maybe we didn't get hit today, it's more of a continuous improvement, continual vigilance.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I want to go to the point of learning from other industries, because what I find in the cybersecurity space is there is a large community that want to do good things for many, and some move from regular IT into OT into different sectors. And so, Antoine, I want to use this moment to maybe kind of transition to the conference that you hold every year and the value of bringing the trucking industry together, but perhaps to Chloe's point, others from other industries, certainly across cybersecurity, to help drive awareness and help each other learn in new and exciting ways.
Yeah, I mean, the conference, when last year when I put the conference together, and this year, what I had in mind was to introduce the carriers to resources that they had available. CISA, which is the operational arm of Homeland Security, we brought in the FBI, Secret Service. We even brought in cyber insurance people. We had Jeremy Daly and his team, you know, showing some research and training that they were preparing, because it's all about resources to help them to defend their assets and their enterprise. We talked about cyber insurance. We talked about what we expected to see in 2024, what we saw in 2023. And then we did some updates on projects. And so we're going to kind of sort of do the same thing again. Instead of having two tracks this year, we're just going to have one. But we're going to talk about some research we've done. We're going to bring in some carriers who've experienced compromises in 23 and talk about some case studies, what they went through, how they were able to recover. And then I enjoy, you know, being ex-military, doing tabletop exercises where we inflict pain on a fictitious company and kind of walk through recovering from that attack. You know, the incident response, the talking to the public, dealing with customers, dealing with partners, dealing with payroll while you're down and your systems are not working. How do you communicate with your employees? Oh, by the way, if everything's electronic, how do you do your incident response plan if everything's electronic and you can't get to it? So we're going to walk through that in an abbreviated period, 2.5 hours. Normally, I would like to have 4 hours or a whole day, but we're going to kind of squeeze it in. But the conference is really designed to just make you aware of what resources you have to augment your security programs, some best practices that are out there, and ways that you can share information with other fleets.
And Chloe, your experience, I know you spoke at last year's conference. What's your experience as a speaker and also as an attendee?
It was the first time I ever did any public speaking, and it was absolutely terrifying. But I think it was really valuable. I actually spoke about the ICS aspect and learning what they do in order to prepare an incident response plan for if there is a cyber event on the heavy vehicles, as opposed to just the enterprise. Because a lot of people are like, okay, I have an incident response plan. If we get hit with this type of attack, then this is what we're going to do. And you have a playbook and a response planned out. But I don't think I did a poll. Not one person raised their hand when I said, do you have an incident response plan prepared for if your trucks are incapable of driving due to a cyber event? And so I think it was very valuable. I hope I got people thinking anyway. And I think that's the purpose. I go so that I can think about things that maybe I haven't been thinking of, again, with the continuous improvement. And just knowing that the trucking industry is a community, we're competitors, but we're also we also need to be there for each other because we have common enemies. So,
yeah, well put. And to reach more people, I know you, Antoine, you also said that you're trying to do a lot in a short amount of time, but I believe there are also webinars that will be hosted, if I'm not mistaken.
We
keep things going throughout the year, right?
Yeah, we used to do once a month. We've kind of slowed down a little bit. Our next webinar is going to be April the 11th, if I remember right. And we're going to bring in a dynamite speaker to come in and talk about third-party risks and risk management. Normally leading up to those webinars, either shortly before or shortly after, I will put out a paper. I've already written it, a couple of papers on third-party risk management and risk management, and also security language that need to go into to contracts. So April 11th is the big day. And then after that, I'm entertaining the idea of the bad guys are using AI to attack us. We can use AI to defend. I've been kind of working on that as a paper and potentially a webinar as well. So, but we do them about every other month now, every 2 months.
Got it. Fantastic. And the date for the conference, it's October. What date?
Last weekend in October, I think it's October the... October the... 27th through the 29th.
There we go. Very good. I'll put a link in the show notes for everybody to access that as well. And I want to take a moment now with you, Dr. Daly, on the Cybertruck Challenge. Can you share a little bit more about that? I've been to a conference, InfraSecurity Europe, held in London, and I met for the first time a gentleman who walks around with a car in a box. And it basically has, it's a simulation of everything that a modern car has in terms of all the electronics, that then with all the sensors to say the wheels turning, the brakes are pumping, the windshield wiper, all the stuff in this box. And it was really, really cool. So, and then the idea was that people can come and hack it. So, tell me a bit about the Cybertruck Challenge. What do you have going on there?
Yeah. So it was probably around 2015. NMFTA kind of had a theory that, trucks had some security challenges, and I was working in, at the University of Tulsa at the time, and came up with this and attended the meeting and kind of confirmed a few ideas, because I had been working in forensics and understood how the trucks worked. And so one of the key takeaways from some of those initial meetings was that the industry really didn't have the right people in place to help solve the problems. And at that time, and even today, hiring great cybersecurity talent with an understanding of the operational technology and physical needs for trucks is actually quite challenging. And so what we did is we started the Cybertruck Challenge in 2017 to fill two missions. One is generate the talent that the industry can hire to work on these problems. And number two is to build a community of interest that really helps engineer to engineer communicate some of the concerns that exist. And so it's a, arguably we've satisfied that mission. And I think we're the only event for heavy trucks like this, where the OEMs will bring their brand new gear to the event and let, you know, the students with some mentors essentially hack on it for a week.
And these are actually functioning, rolling.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some of them, are test vehicles, right? So like Cummins, for example, is one of our sponsors. Well, they don't make trucks, but they have a truck. And so they bring that with their engine in it. And the students have the opportunity, you know, with industry guidance, you know, to go, you know, look at it and explore and get onto the CAN bus and see what messages are there. Other pieces of the truck, right? Telematics devices, trailers, sometimes diagnostic software, and those types of devices are also in scope. And so the students will, you'll learn about software reverse engineering, for example, and then actually pull the firmware from a telematics device that's connected to the truck, right? And that's one of the activities that they learn how to do. In the process of doing that, it really opens up the eyes of the industry to realize that just because it's in a nice shiny metal box mounted to the side of the engine doesn't mean the firmware stays there. And so then there's a different way of thinking about some of these attack vectors based off of what the industry has seen at the Cybertruck Challenge. And the other side effect, of course, is, and this is the desired side effect, is that the students who go there and realize how interesting and challenging and satisfying working with these big rigs are, they end up staying in the industry and making good relationships with those industry mentors and ultimately land jobs there down the road.
So important. And my co-founder Marco and I always say, if we can make security cool, we can get so many more people involved.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking
to be part of something like that is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking forward to the brand new architecture, I think from Volvo this year, right? So they've got a brand new truck model, and we'll be one of the first groups to see it in person. They brought the European version last year, and so we get to see the North American version this year.
Nice one. And what, I'm going to put you on the spot like I did Antoine. When is that happening?
Yeah, so this is going to be the last week of June, so the week of June 24th through 28th, but it is by invite only, right? So it's a sponsored event, and the students have to apply in order to attend and bring recommendations.
Got it. This has been fun. I think I marked down, I have to look, eight things that I think I could dive deeper into for further chats. But at this point, I think we're gonna say we've had enough fun with the trucks, and we're gonna leave everybody thinking a little bit, hopefully a little bit more about their own state of security and their trucking ventures, wherever that may be, in the truck or in the enterprise, in the back office. We didn't even touch on the fact that the stuff all connects to things flying in space, right, for GPS and all kinds of other stuff. But I really appreciate your time and for your insights here. I encourage everybody to attend the events that you are allowed to, get invited to, the webinars that you can continue to learn from. And of course, most importantly, contribute, get engaged, get involved. The more the merrier, the more the fun everybody can have. And ultimately, I think both Antoine and Chloe pointed out very, very pointedly that if we don't pay attention, the supply chain of stuff we care about, most me, I love food. Most importantly for me, is food is at risk. And to think it's not is kind of silly. So any final words from each of you, Chloe?
No, just agreed. I think it's very important to get involved, even if you're a little bit reluctant. Just come to the conference, meet some people, go to the things that you can, and get involved. It's not something that we can hide under a rock and ignore.
Perfect. Dr. Daly.
Yeah, just thanks for the opportunity to share some of our ideas and thoughts with the community. And I guess I want to feel inspired at the end. Like we have not seen a large scale cyber attack against the trucks as they roll down the street. But you know, just make sure that as new things are brought on board, and as the technology, the temptations to embrace that technology pop up, that you've got good consideration about what the potential consequences are.
Yeah. Well put. And Antoine, bring it home for us.
Yeah, well, one, I want to thank for the opportunity to speak. I really enjoyed it. I want to echo what Chloe said. Come to the conference, learn, network. We all in this together. We're not competing. Coming from a military perspective, you really don't have to be afraid and cower down to the cyber attackers. Just take little, small, low-hanging fruit-type steps. Train your users and be a little bit proactive. Have a incident response plan. Do tabletops. Make sure you have good backups. But again, most of all, train your users, because you can spend tens of millions of dollars on the latest and greatest cyber tools, cybersecurity tools, but 90% of the attacks take place through phishing, through social engineering. And so your people are your biggest asset. So let's be proactive. Let's network. Let's we're in this together, and we can defend, because it's not if, it's when.
Yep, and
agreed.
I agree, and I also think it's exciting to have the technology is there to help us do great things, and if we use it wisely, we can accomplish so much. We just have to think about it. And I want to thank everybody for joining me here. I'll put a few links into the notes for resources that the group wants to share. And hope to see everybody at the conference. And do please subscribe, share with your friends and enemies, I like to say. And stay tuned for more Redefining Cybersecurity here on ITSP Magazine. Thank you all.
Pentera, the leader in automation security validation. allows organizations to continuously test the integrity of all cybersecurity layers by emulating real-world attacks at scale to pinpoint the exploitable vulnerabilities and prioritize remediation towards business impact. Learn more at Pentera.io.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Redefining Cybersecurity Podcast with Sean Martin. Please take a moment to rate the show and leave a comment. And remember to share the Redefining Cybersecurity Podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Come back for more conversations and follow Sean Martin as he continues his journey towards redefining cybersecurity.